Good morning and welcome home. To those of you that were out traveling, and if you wanted cold weather, you could have stayed right here. You'd have been plenty, it was plenty of that to go around, but anyway. I'm not going to talk about that this morning. This morning, I want to share a message at the beginning of a new year. Last Sunday, Junior preached and it was looking into the new year, but how does our praise, this is kind of my version of it, how does our praise affect how we live and how does it affect those we live around? I have chosen a word intentional for me for this year. Sometimes I get so busy that intentionality kind of just happens with what's right in front of me instead of what is my goal and what is my focus. So this morning I actually have titled my message, Living on Purpose. And the subtitle of that is 7 Ways to Be Intentional in Your Walk with Christ in 2023. What is the first thing you think of when I use the word intentional? You guys are thinking too long again. On purpose. Deliberate, proactive. What? Thought through. They're all good. They're all part of it. The simple description is done on purpose or deliberate. So I want to ask you this question. If we become complacent and move away from God, can it be unintentional? Now, I'm going to repeat that. We're not going to answer it right now. I have my own thinking there. If we become complacent and move away from God, can it be unintentional? We get caught up in what everybody else is doing and what's around us, what the world wants us to be. And we lose sight of our purpose. We lose sight of what's intended for our lives. We lose sight of the value we can contribute to the world. So I'd like to just look at a couple points this morning on intentional living. Intentional living is giving everything we've got to make sure we don't miss anything. Intentional living is knowing why we do what we do. It's what makes us put down our phones, turn off our screens, declutter our homes, and make the moments matter. Intentional living means choosing to live in a way that is in alignment with your purpose in life. So it's a choice. Intentional living is a choice. Intentional living takes you from where you are not to where you want to go. It's the roadmap that helps you navigate life. It means valuing life so much that you decide how you want to live ahead of time. Planning. Some of us don't do so good with that. Some do too good with that. Those of us that maybe don't do enough of it could tighten up. And those of us that maybe do too much could loosen up and find ourselves in the middle a little bit more often. But that's not what we want to talk about this morning. What I want to look at is how does my life, how do I portray the life of Christ? And what really triggered this message was a verse that Junior read last week in Revelations. I'm going to use it in my conclusion, but I want to jump to it quickly here. It's Revelation 7, verse 11. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. And I did my little amplified on that. As soon as Junior read it, I was like, wait a minute. When I come out of the throne room of God, there should be no question. where I've been. I shouldn't even have to tell anybody. Look at verse 13. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and where have they come from?" Something was different, and that person saw it. There should be something totally different about you and I. And so I want to look at that this morning. The first one we want to look at is, and we're going to be jumping around, so that's the thing about these types of messages. You jump around because you're going to use a lot of different scriptures. So some of them I have written out, some of them we will actually turn to. Deuteronomy 6:5, God gave Moses the law, and he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So the first one that I want to look at is love God above anything else. Love God above anything else. Turn to chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. I'm going to be reading verses 8 through 13. And I'm jumping down here because the next time I preach, the plan is to use the first 7 verses for another message on something intentional as well. So verses 8 through 13. "Observe therefore all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing, the Jordan, that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give to them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys and that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God with all and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." I'm going to stop right there. And then he goes on and he says, what's going to happen? I'm going to let you read that. But there's a command that God gave his people. He said, here's a whole lot of distractions that are going to happen when you get over there. You're going to have it kind of made because the land's just going to produce crops. All you got to do is plant it and just kind of look at it and it's going to grow. But you're going to get distracted. And I want you to think about this. I want you to remember that if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, then he goes on and tells them what's going to happen. But it's contingent on their response to God. Turn over to chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. "If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if a sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, 'Let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them,' you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart, with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him." Verse 3 was the verse I wanted there. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart. So, number one, our purpose is to love God with all our heart. Deuteronomy chapter 30, again, verse 6. Come on now. "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. Now let's look at some of Jesus' words in the New Testament, Matthew 22. Verse 37, Jesus replied, and here the Sadducees had come to Jesus, and they were asking him a question: what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the greatest commandment that we have, is to love God with everything we have. The core foundation of human existence is to love God first. When one bases their life on any other foundation, they cannot live their life to the fullest. God created us to be in fellowship with Him. When we are not, our lives are out of sync with reality. And I think all of us understand that. That life as we know it sometimes seems to revolve around us. And then when things get out of whack, we can't figure out why it's out of whack. And it's because the central focus is not the right thing. The Christian's love of God must be at the center of their walk of faith. And I'm not saying that God does not want you to have the desires of your heart. But what are the desires of your heart and where do they come from? Proverbs says that if we submit and if we follow God with all our heart, that He will give us the desires of our heart. Well, what happens when I submit to Christ? The desires of my heart usually change. Because that's what I want, that's who I want, that's who I want to portray, that's who I want to model myself after. The second one that we want to talk about is love others as yourself. And I honestly had not looked at the Sunday school lesson when I came up with these 7 points. Love others as yourself. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John that our love for each other is a witness of our salvation. In John chapter 13, verse 35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. But then in Matthew 22, which we just looked at, he also added an additional emphasis on loving each other when he says, this is the first and greatest commandment. Now I'm following on after verse 37. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So I could stop right here and say, if you do these two things, everything else will fall into place. It will, but sometimes it takes a little more effort too. John 15, verse 12, Jesus again says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So the first two, love God above all else, love others. The third one is study God's word. Romans 12:2, a very familiar verse. I'm going to read it. I think it's good if we hear it. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So where do we get the means to renew our minds? Paul says here that we need to renew our minds. There's things that need to be cleaned out. Our minds sometimes need to be decluttered. Mine seems to need it more than others. But it does. Because there's so many things that are crowding for my attention that I lose focus on loving God or loving you. Or loving others. I lose that focus. We study. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9 says, finally, brothers, Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. 1 Corinthians 2:16 adds to that as well. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So as we study God's word, as we hear God's word, it changes our mind. It gives us the instruction that we need to change our minds, to allow our minds to be changed, not to change our minds, but to renew them. So love God above all else, love others, and study God's word. Number four is pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul just simply says, pray all the time. How many of you find that easy? I know that as a younger person, I didn't. The older I get, it seems like I do find myself more in that attitude more and more. In verses 12 to 22, in Paul's final instructions to the church at Thessalonica, he gives a list of things that are critical to maintaining a healthy relationship with Christ. And then right in the middle of that, he says, you need to pray without ceasing. Prayer is simply communicating with God. It is an expression of our love and trust. And we might pray for healing. We might pray for help. We might pray for guidance. We might simply pray to thank God for who He is and what He means to us. You know, I'm thinking of an illustration here, and I'm not sure. My brother-in-law and I have had some conversations about how we teach our children, when you lose something, you pray, and God will help you find it. And then sometimes God doesn't help them find it. How do you wrestle with that? How do we come to the place where it's okay if God doesn't answer that prayer the way we pray? This is a very selfish prayer I had. Our boat has been in the water. Last year we started it once and never moved it away from the dock. So I'm not sure why we even have it right now. Actually, right now it's in worse shape than that. But the last hurricane that came through did some damage. And so one of my goals over New Year's that did not happen was to go get the boat and bring it home where I could work on it. So I pulled the trailer out of the woods. And the trailer is in no shape to go get the boat. So I thought, well, let me go see what I need to do up there. And I get there, and the boat's not moving. It's sitting on dry ground. I mean, the foot was buried in the mud probably that deep. I had to dig it out because I was afraid it was going to ruin it. So it's sitting there. Well, there's two pieces that I could not find when it got damaged. And I've been praying, Lord, I'd like to find those two, because the boat's old enough that I can't find those pieces anymore, and nobody makes it. And I don't really want to change all of the pieces. There's four of them, and I don't want to change them all. And so I'm standing there on the dock the other day looking out across there, and all of a sudden I saw something strange out there about 10 feet in the water. And I looked again, and I didn't have my boots along, or I could have walked out to it. It was that shallow. And I thought, that looks like one of the pieces I'm looking for. So I got my net And I fished it until I got it, and sure enough, it was one of them. And you know what my instant prayer was? Lord, thank you, but where's that other piece? I still haven't found that one. I'm waiting for the water to go down a little farther. We'll see what happens. But am I going to be okay if that piece never shows up? Yeah, I'll be fine. Does it make me happy? Nah, not really. But I'm not really upset about it either. But so how often do my prayers revolve around me or what I want instead of, God, what do you want? Now, that thing's insignificant to what God wants. I don't know that God cares. Well, I know I think he cares, but that boat's insignificant. Let's just leave it there. It's something that's constantly needing maintenance. Let's leave it there. But God does care. But is my main desire to honor God? Is my main desire in my life, in my prayer, in my attitude of life that I live in, if my whole being is set to make God my primary focus, I will love God above all else. I will love others. I will study to find God's will. And it will also result in a heart and mind tuned to God to communicate with Him. The attitude of continual prayer changes me and brings me in line with God's will. That's the goal. That was Paul's focus. He had a whole lot of other list of things he wanted the church to do, but he said right in the middle of it, pray without ceasing, because there were things he knows we're going to be distracted with. And he knows that our focus is going to come off of those other things. And we need to be in continual communication with God to keep that focus. Number five. Protect your personal integrity. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 15. Actually, let's back up to verse 4. No. 12 to 15. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault. That's a big one. This morning, that should be one of our goals, is to be without fault. How we as Christians conduct ourselves in public can be a powerful witness for Jesus. If we strive to be honest and truthful in all our personal and business relationships, people will see that we are different from those who care nothing for honesty and do whatever it takes, ethical or unethical, to get what they want. We live in a culture, we live in a world where ethics are determined by the moment. And they change at a whim. As Christians, we should be blameless. We should strive to be blameless. We should protect our integrity at all costs. We love God above all else. We love others. We study God's word, communicate with God, and protect our integrity. The sixth one is live out your faith. James chapter 1. James talks a lot about this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James instructs us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. So as you study, as you pray, as you focus on God, as you focus on your relationship with others, you protect your integrity. Sometimes it does things that we must do to live out our faith. Romans chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God. Every one of you here this morning, every one of us here, listening to this word this morning, I will tell you that according to Romans 2:13, you can sit here and we can listen to all of this, and it can be worthless. Absolutely worthless. A waste of time. But Paul says, but the doers of the law will be justified. If we hear God's word, if we apply God's word, we will be justified. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. James 2 says, living out our faith is not about doing everything just right. Faith that is not authentic enough to influence one's action is probably not a belief that one holds very securely. Let me repeat that. Faith that is not authentic enough to influence one's actions is probably not a belief that one holds very seriously. The last one is strive to be sinless. And you might wonder why I put that one last. Because I believe that if we love God above all else, if we love others, if we study God's word, if we pray, if we protect our integrity, and if we live out our faith, then this one is going to be a little easier to identify. Sometimes things happen, and we get unfocused, and we lose. But sin is the one thing that can steal our peace. It can steal our joy. It can even corrupt our relationship with God. It will corrupt our relationship with God, to the point that we are miserable and cease to be a witness of God's goodness and glory. Romans 6, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Romans 12:9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Paul again says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So we have been given all the tools that we need to strive to be sinless. Note, I said strive to be sinless. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that things aren't going to happen. But when we do, when it does, what do we do? So back to the question that I asked at the beginning. If we become complacent and move away from God, can it be unintentional? I would suggest that complacency is a choice. And if I find myself moving away from God, I have a choice at that point. I can take corrective action to change course, or I can face failure spiritually. Some of you have heard the illustration of prop walk. And I've used it, and I'm going to use it again. If I ever get my boat on water again, and I take out, if I go out across the lake, and I don't continually correct my boat, has a tendency to go to the right. And it doesn't matter where I want to go, if I don't correct and keep my focus on my compass at night, or keep my focus on where I want to go, I'm going to find myself over here instead of over here where I wanted to go. So if I become complacent in driving my boat, I'm going to end up where I didn't want to be. And because of the fact that I already know that that boat has a tendency to steer to the right, guess what? It's no longer unintentional. It's a choice I made to not pay attention to where I'm going. And I believe as Christians, we have that same choice. It's our choice how we're going to live out 2023. It's our choice how we're going to live out today, tomorrow. And I want to challenge us. Our conduct reflects on Jesus Christ. And we should want to be the best representatives for Him that we can be. Back to Revelation chapter 7, verse 11. And the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Verse 13. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and where have they come from?" When we come out of the throne room of God, others will know it without me needing to tell them. And I challenge all of us in 2023 to live actively and intentionally, to love God above all else, to love others, to study God's Word, to communicate with God, to protect our integrity, to live out our faith, and to strive to be sinless. And I believe that if we live intentionally, we will intentionally find the mark. Scott, do you have a song?
Christian Hymnary
859. 859 in the hymnary. You can stand for closing. Father, this morning, we just come to you as people that need you. We understand and we realize that we are simply people that need a leader. We need a shepherd, and you have provided that. We need to be reminded, because God, there's so much stuff around us. There's a world that is in total disarray. And it can distract us. There's a world of things that we think we might need or might want or might need someday, and we think we need it now. And in the end, most of that stuff doesn't matter. Help us, Father, to get the focus where it belongs. To realize that as we live intentionally, as we set goals, that number one, when we come into the throne room and we spend time with you, that others will see it. Help us to do that with purpose. Help us to live our lives with purpose this year. Thank you, God, for each one here. And I pray that you would meet each need where it is this morning, and that your Spirit would guide and help each person to have purpose and to find purpose in the walk and the journey that you've given them. Help us to help each other, to encourage each other, to challenge each other, and to be representatives of Jesus Christ, to be ambassadors, and to show the love of Jesus to all that we meet. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.